we're back. Scott Spears here on a Getaway Friday, April the 29th, 2022, 15 minutes past the hour. 46 degrees, mostly cloudy skies here in Marion, last Friday in the month of April. One more day left in the month of April. Glad to be with you this morning here. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. In hour number one this morning, we had some very interesting conversations, so I hope you're still with me out there on the toll-free exchange. Oh, we're getting a phone call already. This is a good way to start the hour. And as we start this hour, we're going to have a very interesting conversation. We're joined by a man who has not been on the program for a few weeks, but he is one of my favorite people. Everybody knows that. He has an immense interest and an immense curiosity in so many things. And to be a great broadcaster, you have to have curiosity. We all know that. This man's curiosity is insatiable. He is curious about everything, and when he gets behind a microphone, he does voices, he can be serious, he can interview, and he can entertain. He can make you happy, mad, sad, or glad, and that's what all good broadcasters do. What a pleasure it is for this hour to be joined by the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Ted, how are you?
And a good Friday morning to you, Scotty. I love you always, your introductions. And, you know, I do have a tendency to make you laugh, make you cry, make you sad, make you happy, and all those things. I don't know whether that's a gift or whether it's just that I'm crying on people's shoulders and want them to join me. But it's tears of a clown. How are you, Scotty?
Doing well. You know, somebody told me one time that the great broadcasters are not the ones who come on and make you happy every day, but they're the ones who spur some emotion in you, no matter what it is.
That's right. You know, I have done that. I've made people feel a little better about themselves from time to time. In my heyday, back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, I would have all kinds of topics that would bring some joy, that would bring some sadness, that would just provoke thought. And that's what you're right. That's what radio broadcasting should be about. And you are very knowledgeable. You bring those interest stories, those human interest stories that make everybody respond to their best. Now, I want to say something real quick, if I may, before we continue. I thought about being a write-in candidate on a Democratic ticket because of the undecided vote count. 54, as you say, percent are undecided.
Yeah, it's a very, very, very interesting thing here. The big primary coming up on Tuesday here in Ohio for governor. We've got John Cranley, the mayor of Cincinnati, and Nan Whaley, the mayor from Dayton, both in this race on the Democratic side. But what's interesting, the most recent poll, which was taken, let's get the most recent poll here, was taken about a month ago, shows that Cranley is polling 18%, Whaley's polling 23% among Democrats. But the amazing thing is the people who are still undecided as Democrats are 54%.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You know, I would like to get a little piece of that 54% just to, you know, remember when Ross Perot ran for president and he ate up some of the votes, some of the undecided votes and all? Well,
yeah,
you know, I used to laugh at that idea, but now it's coming. I wanted to hear both candidates, both of these candidates, not DeWine's take on various things, but I understand that you were going to do a little impromptu interview with the one out of Cincinnati. I mean, Dayton.
The one from Cincinnati, Mr. Cranley. But we are going to do that before Tuesday night. But it just had to be moved from today.
I understand you rescheduled that. I had slowed down on my. I got that that email or some message. Quite quickly, and so I kind of slowed down on my research, but I'm going to be in full swing by tomorrow.
So Ted, what are you thinking as far as this Democratic primary goes?
Well, you know, I wanted to get their take on various subject matters and situations that this state is involved with, and I don't hear any of it. You know, like the fair housing laws changed for convicted felons and the homelessness. Instead of privatizing prisons throughout the state, we need to address schools and, get our felons back on track for the, knocking them down just because they had a felony fleeing an accident or something of that nature. They can't get a chance at housing, you know, in an apartment, but yet you complain. And we need a few more shelters in the state, various ones. From what I understand, Cleveland is in need of one. We are in need of one. You know, people are now opening their own private homes and trying to get the money from the Adam Board and various other mental health places. You know, that's terrible. We need a structure. We need some schools with adequate books. You know, you're closing schools throughout the city. Here in Columbus, they've closed quite a few of them. And instead of investing a little bit of money, for remodeling and getting some up-to-date books, you know, Columbus is pitiful when it comes to keeping our students at a level of competence, you know, a level of education. You know, you go to Grove City or something, the Southwestern City School District, them kids are doing well. They're at the level of, SAT scores being a little more. Our academics are very poor with our kids these days, basically. And that's what we need to do, address our future, let's keep our fire departments, our public servants in jobs, and let's keep our immigrants down to a minimum, you know.
Now, Ted, let's do a little backstory here, because I think this is important and interesting. As I look here at the Democratic candidates, it shows that you withdrew from being in the Democratic primary. I believe that was last year, back in 2021. So I don't know that we've ever talked about this. There were a lot of stories in the press as to why you withdrew. What happened from the horse's mouth?
Well, I'll tell you. There were many situations outside of the death of my girlfriend, you know, her passing. My manager just was at the time, was he's no longer my manager, by the way, Scott Anthony. And at the time, he was saying that nobody's going to vote for you. You're not thoroughly, you know, he just did everything and discouraged me more and more about doing it. And I kind of lost interest in the research and the things that people that were going to help me with advice and all. I kind of backlogged them all, so to speak. A little early in the morning, please forgive me.
No. So a lot of things were going on at that time. A manager was trying to dissuade you from doing this, and also the death of your longtime girlfriend.
That's right. 32 years invested with Kathy. So anyway, there was just some distractions involved, and when you're running for office, or whether it's a city council, whether it's any office or elected, elected position, you really have to be focused. And I just lost the focus, being discouraged by my management and the few things that had showed up, you know, that made me very sad, depressed, and a few other things that I came out. Okay.
You know, it's interesting, Ted. We were talking earlier on in the week about the upcoming election. And when I told you that 50, because you had said back when you were going to run a year ago that you would run in the Democratic primary. And when I told you that 54% of Democrats are still undecided prior to Tuesday's primary, that struck a chord with you.
Yes, I got very excited over the idea. Now, I don't want to discredit Governor DeWine's popularity or his American, the statewide feeling for DeWine. He's done an excellent job in various situations, but he never addressed any of the the things that I want to address as being a candidate as well as an elected official.
Well, it's kind of interesting because the Republican primary on Tuesday does show Mike DeWine winning with 43% of the vote. But the fascinating thing is, in his own party, in his own Republican primary, a sitting governor is only polling at 43%.
Yeah, he's missing quite an overrun. I look for him to win, but I'd like to be a write-in candidate, but I haven't decided that yet. But by Tuesday, I want to hear what both mayors that are currently running on the, what is that, the independent ticket that they're running on?
Democratic side.
Democratic, I'm sorry. Yeah, I've been a sworn Democrat all my life, and I believe Marion County is a Republican county, isn't it?
It is a Republican county, but we do have Mary Ellen Withrow here, who's a Democrat, who came from Marion.
I love Mary Ellen Withrow.
And our mayor's a Democrat, running for state treasurer.
Oh, okay.
So there are some Democrats here in Marion.
Well, then I need some support there in Marion.
Well, so
I
it's...
Go ahead.
So it's interesting. So what you're saying at this point is that because you cannot get on the ballot before Tuesday, there is this 54% undecided in the Democratic column, that if you see support in the next few days, you will offer yourself up for a write-in candidacy. You'll let the audience know by Monday so they can do that on Tuesday. Is that the idea? Don't let me put any words in your mouth.
No, you're not, Scotty. I believe the gubernatorial race is already dictated. But I do want to say that a write-in position, maybe I could lend some support to the current Democrats and possibly hold a position in the office in some other category or capacity, should I say. So I want to run. I want to run and see if I can get some support. I do have numbers and facts and figures and all of those things ready to address, not in the debate style, but just to let everybody know this is what we need to do collectively as a state.
Now, it's kind of interesting, Ted, because you said your management at the time when you announced that dissuaded you because you don't have any experience, you're not a current politician, but it's kind of interesting because in the Republican primary, we have a gentleman, Joe Blystone, who's polling 19% against a sitting governor, and Joe Blystone has never held political office. Joe Blystone has no political experience, and he's polling 19%.
Well, that's the kind of motivation I need, because this state is in a current state of, we could do better collectively as a state of Ohio.
How does it make you feel, and I've brought this up with Mary Ellen and former Governor Strickland, the state of Ohio has never had a female governor or an African-American governor.
Well, I think we're a long way from that to happen. I don't know whether it's because of experience. I would say that some of the red counties that are still out there, I'm talking about the Chillicothes and the Zanesvilles and, those areas, Marion or whatever. It's not, they're not ready for that. It's not that there's no experience. Just like we came up with a black president finally after 200 years. And now we have a African-American vice president, which isn't faring well in the public polls. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's been interesting that she is not very popular. Doesn't seem to be amongst a whole lot of people. What's your read on that?
Well, I know she's failing in women. I don't even think that there's a big turnover with African-American voters that really, feel any changes that's going to be made with her because of her seat in California. Prior to this election, she was what, district attorney of state district attorney?
I believe so.
Yeah, and she has more black marks than more red marks instead of black marks. With her position there about incarcerating drug offenders with minimal with maximum. She never sent one. I mean, you give somebody for just half an ounce of pot 30 years? Come on. and use that same person in the account for free state labor on the highways and, you know, making license plates or whatever people do there for that. Here we have OPI, Ohio Prison Institute. They make clothes, soap, and those things for the institution. But I think California is still making license plates and all of that. Mm. So anyway, she would use that labor, free labor, and give people maximum times and deny any paroles or anything just to keep the Department of Parks and Recreation and all those places where prisoners are allowed to work for minimal wages, and she keeps it keeps that going. So that's terrible, you know. So I don't think her popularity is going to grow any more than what it has.
Let's run down a few of these issues here in Ohio, Ted, if you were to do this. What is your take on the prison system here in Ohio?
It could improve. I mean, you got a lot of people who are being denied paroles, or I don't know if probation's count as a... But anyway, our prison systems could use a lot of things that could... And I'm not trying to make country clubs. I mean, prisons have country clubs. But, we got to give respect where it's due. There are some people that are really, really trying to do their 10-year sentence, their 20-year sentence, in the best fashion that they could. Some of them made some mistakes that probably could have been corrected. I think we need more social workers and prison policies need to be kind of upgraded, so to speak. We're upgrading telephones, but we're not upgrading anything else.
Now, as far as veterans, which I know that's a cause very close to your heart, how do you think veterans are treated in Ohio?
I think with many of the programs that have been implemented for U.S. veterans here in the state of Ohio, I think it's pretty good. You know, our hospitals could be a little more upgraded, and what I mean by that is, you know, we got a lot of drug addicts that are prisoners. I mean, American soldiers, whether it's retired or recently separated, all the various wars and conflicts we've had, they need to be kind of upgraded, so to speak, too. But the overall treatment of our veterans, it's great. We have a lot of programs and a lot of things available. Housing, they'll pay your first month's rent. In various counties they have this. Even veterans of foreign wars, they're doing good, and they're trying to get the support of the public. You know, we have a lot of POWs, disabled veterans in the Iraqi and the Iranian, those conflicts as well. They're coming back a little more. Let's treat our mental health situation a little more differently with the veterans. You know, these guys have PTSD, and it's phenomenal about the people that come from overseas and conflicts and wars that they come back here all messed up, man. They can't get it together.
Mm. And of course, I know one that's very close to your heart is the homeless situation, which seems to be growing.
Yes, it is growing, and it's more and more and it's because of the housing that these people. If they had a chance at housing, I think it would help the highways be less. Less with people standing around holding signs begging for money. You know, society does not deem able-bodied men and women standing on exit ramps on highways begging for money too favorably. You know, get off the corner, crackhead. You know, I'm not going to give you nothing. Get a job. Those are some of the sentiments of, responsible citizens, so to speak. They don't care what they say to those people out there standing. So, if you gave them a chance at housing, I guarantee you all of that would clean up, you know, if they had a chance. And if they got evictions all on their record, I'm not asking for the American public to pay for expunges and giving people second and third chances at housing. If they've been evicted, rightfully so, you know, I see the drug problem getting bigger and bigger here in Columbus. I don't know what the drug problem. I know opiates is on the rise. The fentanyl and the heroin and all of that is on the rise throughout the country. That's just not a statewide thing. And that's what we have to address, counseling and the drugs that help the person get off the drugs. You know, we just need more support. And so as far as the homeless situation, let's upgrade that situation to making them feel better about themselves, the homeless people. You know, not going to a hospital and just calling them crazy and they can't get a place to live.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the drug problem here, Ted, because this is ongoing and it's very unfortunate in all states. I think most states are having this issue. How do we get a handle on this problem?
Again, putting some positive situations in the lives. You know, I don't think we just go around and lock up every drug dealer you see or call one drug worse than the other. We need to just collectively gather our resources and all and just have them aimed at one thing. We got so many situations and differences going on that nobody's keeping any focus on one particular situation. Now, drugs is a big problem. So let's get, you know, the resources and all that together so that we can address the problem one by one. Now, crack and or cocaine and heroin, opiates. And the thing about it is, if we can curb our doctors from letting some of the patients just telling them, you know, I have pain here, I have pain, and they're prescribing Xanax. Well, Xanax is not a pain medication, but, you know, giving them all kind of, what is it called? What's the one that everybody, Percocets, and just all kind of, at liberty, you know? If you say you got a pain in your neck, they'll go ahead and they'll prescribe you some, what is the word?
Opioids?
All opioids, but there's one particular pain medication that took Prince and Michael Jackson out of him. Now, I know that he was on
fentanyl.
Yeah, but what was Michael Jackson on?
What was that, fentanyl?
No.
What was
it? It was that sleep medication that they give you prior to surgery.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. What is that?
I can't think of it. I don't know. We're not going to spend too much time thinking about it. But anyway, they have those. They just prescribe you too much pain medication that could be a kickstart for many people who have never had an addiction at all.
Now you know, it's Ted, it's interesting Valium. Because we just had this case decided last week.
Propofol,
that's it. You got it. We just had this case decided last week here in Ohio where the doctor down in Columbus at Mount Carmel, I believe it was on trial for 14 deaths. Critically ill patients were given fentanyl and they died and the family sued, but the doctor got a not guilty verdict. What did you make of all that?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't hear very much of that story, but they have a lot of mercy doctors out there, Kevorkians and all of those people out there. I heard that there was a guy in a nursing home, RN in a nursing home that was administering too much of morphine. He got the guy and took him out. Took his patients right out. You do have a lot of mercy killing.
Now, Ted, the issue that has seemed to hurt Mike DeWine here in the state more than any other is how he handled COVID. How do you think Mike DeWine did with COVID, and what are your thoughts on it?
He was bumping up the numbers for kickbacks. Now, people have been catching COVID and dying by the death. You never hear any good stories about the people that recovered and all of that. Those don't come out in numbers. But the people who have, you know, have the COVID and all, those come out in numbers. And I think they just, DeWine was doing it with the media. He stayed in contact with the media, radio, television, and all, and bumped up the numbers. There's no way in the world 100,000 people, you know, a week, a month would be, you know, contracting COVID. You know, it was just a numbers game, if you ask me. And no, I haven't been inoculated yet or vaccinated yet. I will if there's a sudden urge, but not a vaccine that's been only developed a week from the time the COVID was reported that it was in the United States. You tell me that they come out in Johnson & Johnson. Now they're coming up with new variants, and oh, it's just awful. You know, kids at certain age groups get this particular one, I think it's just an introduction to a new world order. You know, you won't be able to fly if you don't have it. You won't be able to attend, a ball game if you don't have it. You won't be able to cash your check if you don't have it. Come on.
What do you make of all the mandates we went through during COVID about wearing masks and
are mandates really legal?
Well, I don't know. You know, the courts will have to figure that one out.
Yeah, so when I heard it, it was like, okay. You know, I shake thousands of hands a day. I hug people. That's what I love to do. You know, I meet people. I breathe on them. They breathe on me. And I've never contracted COVID. I thank God, of course. But my wife had it. My girlfriend Kathy had it twice after being vaccinated. That says a lot about the vaccination and the pre-existing health conditions that people have was never addressed. You don't ever hear anybody giving a big screening. All they got is one shot fits all. You know, if you got diabetes, liver disease, heart disease, cardiovascular breathing conditions and all of that. They'll never ask you that before they give you the shot.
Mm. And of course, Ted, as you brought up earlier, what do you make of the school system in Ohio and our kids today?
Pitiful in certain counties, pitiful. Down in our Appalachian counties, pitiful. Pitiful. I mean, white and black students both. It's not just singled out. You got some dumb white people, you got some dumb black people. You know, kids. And that's a shame because as a child, I remember, and I'm sure people can remember with me who are in the baby boomer ages, you know, we had support from the family and you wasn't concerned about somebody home learning you or, you know, homeschooled and all of that. You know, you went to a school. A school had books that were up to date. You know, we learned from each other. We were taught. They're taking more and more curriculums out of these schools, you know, handwriting. I mean, what happened to that? That was just cursive writing, taken all out. Kids don't even know what a dictionary is. If they Google it, they would. But, there's no real big. Now, true enough, there's a group of people that love their kids to be very social media savvy or computer savvy and all of that stuff. That's great. We get down back to the basics. That's what we need. Good spelling books. Good, all these great books, not depending on the internet. You know?
You know,
we're just making those people richer and richer.
You know, it's kind of interesting, Ted. During this entire COVID pandemic, the mask became a very divisive symbol during this period. Do you think people should have been mandated to wear the masks or not?
Make it your choice, just like it's your choice to get the shot, vaccination. Make it your choice to do that as well, because just mandating and putting great fears in people and making them feel less than because they don't have one. When you're coughing in your mask, you're sneezing in your mask. Where is the outlet? Now they're making all kind of fashionable masks, all kind of, you know, one mask fits all type of thing. It's terrible. That mask thing was just terrible. It made people feel very, very, some foolish and some like, I'm prepared. Here's my mask. Now, under certain areas like airports too, international flights or whatever, I'd like to have a mask on because Michael Jackson wore a mask for millions of years. I'm just using that as a hypothetical number, by the way, but he's wore masks all along. Howie Mandel, another one. You know, but of course they suffered from germophobic. They were germophobic, but, you know, they wore it for a reason. You know, and if I felt like I wore it for a reason, you know, going here and going there, strapping up with a mask, then we might as well live in a bubble.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, here's something interesting, Ted, that I learned this past week. President Trump came to Ohio last Saturday, right here in Delaware, right between where I sit and you sit. He drew a very big crowd, and he endorsed J.D. Vance for Senate. Now, what's interesting about that is before President Trump's endorsement, J.D. Vance was in third place in the polls. After the endorsement, he's in first place, and there is a statistic here in Ohio that says that if President Trump endorses the candidate, that the candidate, I believe the number is 54.9%, 54.9%. If President Trump says vote for that candidate, endorses them, the voters, the Republican voters, are 54.9% more likely to vote for that candidate just because President Trump said so. And obviously, it's given J.D. Vance the bump.
Hogwash. Good for J.D. You know, come on, we got just as many dislikes for Trump as we do likes. You know, Trump was trouble. T stood for trouble. Now, I admit, and I told you, he offered me an apartment or a condo or whatever he has up there, those luxury apartments at Trump Towers in New York. He offered me one, and a lease for 1 year. I declined it, of course, but not because let's just say all that immigration stuff that he came up, borders and everything. You go to some of these hotels, you got work into the why, because they're cheap labor, you know, but yet he's talking about building walls. I think it was a very foolish, and he's all of his campaign speeches and all are on Twitter. You know, he has nothing to say, and he's always bashing the media. You know, they told a lie on me, you know, giving people false thoughts about the way his campaigns are ran. He's had many people in his cabinet either removed or arrested. So, you know, you're a damn fool if you believe that because Trump endorsed the candidate, there's a more likelihood they'll be elected. If they feel like that, it's just like saying, you know, if I believe in the devil, you know, I'm going to get a position. I'm not calling Trump a devil, but let's think about one of the great things that he did while he was in office for his 4 years, other than bashing people left and right and you know, making things look stupid. And now we got another stupid president. That's Biden. I don't know what to say good about it. I really don't. Nothing.
Well, at least you're equal opportunity when it comes to Republican and Democratic presidents there.
Yeah, as far as that, yes. Yep. I don't know who would have been a decent choice over him, but I voted for Biden, and he won, but now he's like a senile old dog.
Oh, Lord, I tell you, the American people need to... what was I talking about?
That kind of thing.
Well, what do you make about his idea to forgive all student loan debt? That's been the topic lately.
Oh, really? Well, see, I'm going to be honest with you, Scotty. I'm a little backlogged on a lot of current affairs, both national and international. I do really, really have to, you know, being out of work for as long as I have, it doesn't come second nature to me anymore. Of course, I'm getting up there in age, but because I was a devout ABC with Sam Donaldson and Ted Koppel and all of it. I mean, I wouldn't miss any kind of edition of that. Remember The Current Affair?
I did with Maury Povich. Where was that? Bill O'Reilly.
I like it with Maury Povich.
Maury Povich, but, yeah.
Yeah, but and Connie Chung. His wife, you know, all of those great people, they're gone now. Those were people that captivated the attention of the American public. And that's how I grew up. You ask kids you know, outside of TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, I don't think kids have any idea what the hell is going on.
Well, there is an interesting thing going on with the youth here. Ted, who today on television or radio, who is your favorite broadcaster? Who do you think carries a lot of weight and tries to call it down the center?
Both the ABC Nightly News, I like, and Lester Holt. You know, those guys really captivate me. But ABC, what's his name? Stephanopoulos? Excuse me.
Yes, George Stephanopoulos. Yeah.
Yeah, I love him. And, of course, Robert. Gone are the days of Meredith, but she wasn't really a journalist to me. She was very much grateful to listen to. I like that. That's probably it in terms of, you know, people that could bring me the news. Unlike, I loved Matt Lauer. He really, really made news worth watching.
Now, Ted, we've got about 10 minutes here left in the broadcast today, and one thing I wanted to cover, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. When I run into people, they always ask me, when you haven't been on the program in a while, they say, how is Ted doing? And the other night we had a very interesting conversation, and you can tell us as much or as little, but how have you been doing in the year 2022?
Outside of my brief bouts with grieving for the loss of my mate, my significant other, the love of my life, I'm not really doing well, but not enough to go to the media or the public and just talk about how bad I'm doing. Not in terms of sobriety, none whatsoever. That has nothing to do with that. Financially, I've been raped and abused and all from the management choices that I made. So there's where that ends there. I made those ignorant choices to choose Brett Adams, an attorney at law, robbed me of $395,000, $375,000, in increments of $493,000 checks. I was with him for 2 years, and he'd But he got, I would say, the majority of it. I certainly didn't see it. He put me up in a condominium in Dublin and just did me in. That was by choice. A referral, but nevertheless, signed a contract agreement and became that. Now, granted, I've had some opportunities with him as well that I took advantage of, but nothing that I would, and I say his name liberally, Brett Adams. I have thought about some bad things to do to a person. I've never thought about carrying through with it. Suicide. I thought about suicide. I had suicide in my mind quite a few times and just didn't want to have to choose which is the safest way to go. Mental health is very important. There's a lot of people that suffer from some bout with depression, schizophrenia, you know. I didn't address it the right way, and I certainly don't take medications, but I did try to take Wellbutrin, which is a antidepressant, but it didn't work well with me only because it just kept me in a stuck state. I would get on one thought and wouldn't get off nothing else. So anybody that's on Wellbutrin, God bless you.
Because
you're addressing it. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's just to make this clear, what got you to the point in 2022 that you were thinking of suicide? What was going on in your life?
Finances, a place to stay. I'm staying with a relative right now currently. The guy that I told you put me up in, I'm not going to use his name anymore because I don't want nobody defamation lawsuits. But I'm just mad. When I say his name, it's out of anger. It's not to try to implement anybody else to feel that way. But suicide came, you know, I think about the various people in our lifetime who have committed suicide, and I try to think of their reasons that things get that bad and all. Yes, if you focus and if you dwell on certain things, I think I dwell too much over finances, transportation. He wasn't making my car payments, and so as a result, I lost a car. well, lost two cars, vehicles. I'll say that one was a Jeep, and the other one was a really nice vehicle from Reichert, Rick Reichert. But that and the fact that I wasn't able to do, you know, not just Brent took my money, but there were other people as well. I don't care to mention their name. They didn't rate me as bad as Mr. Adams.
I want to get two. We got 5 minutes here, Ted, and there are two questions I want to get in. What prevented you from committing suicide? Thank goodness you didn't, but what stopped you?
God. My belief and faith in God. You know, I questioned that, and a few people that I have said, oh, that's not what God would want you to do. Oh, you'll go straight to hell. You're not supposed to kill yourself. But God, my holding on to the idea that maybe one day I'll see Kathy again, but not my way. Now, I'm not going to rush the matter, but now anything could happen. God, we all have a day, you know, to die. We all have a day.
And the other question, Ted, I believe you said that you currently are not under any management. What brought to an end, or what is the situation with your management currently?
I had a manager that just overwhelmed me with things that he wanted to do, nothing I wanted to do. What he had envisioned, not what I had envisioned. And so I thought it would be safe, you know, to just take him off the payroll. I need the money myself. He had other employment situations going on with him, but it was everything he wanted to do. He ran my Facebook. He wrote a book. Everything was just what he wanted, or what he envisioned my life to be. Now, he put me on a lot of things that I didn't care about. You know, they were money opportunities probably, but I took advantage of most of them. But I just don't feel like, and it's not because I'm incorrigible or just a pistol to deal with. I have my moments, and that's what's part of staying sober. And, you know, you have those, it's almost like a woman who has her PMS. That's what staying sober means to me. It's like, I can't have none, and I'm watching people do it, or I know people are still doing it, and they're functioning all right. I got to stay this way to be all right. You know, crazy, those kind of thoughts in and out and that.
So currently, Ted, you would qualify yourself as not having any management.
Right. None whatsoever.
Now, this is an important point, something you said there, and a lot of people have wondered about this, because you do have a Facebook page that has a lot of followers. Do you write those comments?
No, it has. No, yeah. Some people, well, let's just say I may say something to the effect of, hey, man, can you post it? You know, it's an official Facebook, but I have my own Facebook that I'm working through, and I have over 5,000 followers that are trying to get in. You know how you have this request? It says friend request. I get about 50 to 60 of them a day. I don't know. I'm not internet savvy, so I'd probably be a governor who doesn't know how to run his own Facebook.
Well, I don't know if Mike DeWine runs his own Facebook either. And talk about age. He's a little older than you by about a decade.
Oh, then the golden voice is the choice.
So basically, Ted, to just let the listeners know what's going on right now, after withdrawing from the gubernatorial candidate last year because of a conflict with a manager death in the family, that because there are 54% going into Tuesday undecided Democratic primary voters, that you're going to think about this for a little bit of time, and if you come in the next few days to decide you want to do this, you want to be a write-in in the Democratic primary for governor.
That's right. Once I get the facts and figures and the things that get me a nice politician team, including yourself, you give me some ins and outs of the situation, I get a chance to talk to a few people who are already in office, like the lovely Mary Withrow and Governor Strickland. I know them personally by way of you. And, you know, give me a little team together. I think I could do the job. I really do. I know thinking that you could do the job and knowing you could do the job, I'll keep it on the think level because there are so many aspects that I need to be clued in on. Now, you mentioned that one, was it Blystone?
Blystone, yeah.
Yeah, no experience, no political office currently. I think I'd be under this way of politicking. I for years have stayed away from politics because of the ins and outs and the distrust and the monies that go through and campaigns and all of that stuff. But now I think at the age of 64 years old, I think I have a level head now. Is not thinking about committing suicide and then all of a sudden I'm going to be your governor. But this is something that I think would help me make decisions better because I think our mental health clinics need to upgrade, our schools, our housing issues need an upgrade, we as a state need an upgrade, and all of these insurance companies that are moving into Ohio as a tech market, I believe, there's no way in the world we should have 150,000 insurance companies to choose from. And they bug you every day. Affordable, if you're the ages between this, that, and the other, you can get affordable insurance right now. Those kind of things. I know that's worldwide, but in this state, we have entirely too many damn insurance companies.
It's very... Ted,
don't
you know
agree?
What... Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. We're coming up on the break here. We've got 2 hours left in the broadcast today. I'm going to talk to Ted a little bit more this morning. Give him a break here for a little bit, but we're going to break right now for the top of the hour. Ted, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, certainly my pleasure. Let me tell you something. I love the Marion area very much, and don't be surprised if I become a resident.
Hey, thank you, Ted.
Bye-bye.
Hey. Man with the Golden Voice, Ted Williams. How interesting is that? Stay tuned.
You're listening to WWGH.